We've been going through Romans, and we're at Romans toward the end of 7. Vital, vital information of how a true believer that believes God died to pay the death penalty for all your sins, those kind of people, those saved people, it enables them to live a life governed by the Holy Spirit, because they choose to follow the Holy Spirit within them. Those that aren't saved don't have the Holy Spirit within them. They can't make that choice. They can try, they can exercise dead works, but they can't, they don't have the equipment to live a holy life before the Lord. And especially verses from 7:15, Romans 7, verse 15, through the end of the chapter, 11 verses there. 14, you could start with 12 verses. But if someone can post verses for this study, it would help. We talked about the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Which do you choose? Your soul, your mind, emotions, and your will has the ability to choose whether to follow your Adam nature or your Holy Spirit nature, your Christ nature. The new man. Put off the old man and put on the new man is what Paul says. You can do it. You didn't used to be able to before you were saved, but you can. So we're going to start off right before Romans 8. And I think this is one of the most important sections in the Bible. To me, it's the second most exciting section, the first being Paul describing how to be saved. But let's start with 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved. That's God's primary will. And there's more to his will, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So what I see there is that it's not just head knowledge. We are to learn doctrine. Yes, there is doctrinal information that we need to assimilate. We need to be constantly taking it in. That's the knowledge of the truth that's God's will for us to take, to believe. All right, I didn't write that. I'm not sure who did. I am. Okay. Let's keep our comments in line with what the lesson is, please. And if you have questions, I'll cover them at the end. Please hold on to them or write them down or be ready to repost them at the end of the study so that, maybe the question will be answered further into the chapter here. The scripture gives us doctrinal information, but that's not all there is to it. It has to do with our life and how we live it. For instance, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ignore the word of God and you're cutting yourself short. Short of the equipment God has for saved people. So this is what this current godly living section, the second of four sections in Romans, it's what it explains and makes possible to us. Romans 6, 7, and 8. Because it's not possible by our own doing, by our own thinking through things, whether it be, what language to use or what sins, what constitutes a sin, what is, am I not allowed to dance anymore because I'm a Christian? Am I not allowed to smoke? Am I not allowed to do this or that? That's, you need the Holy Spirit, yes, but you need the Word of God, too, to figure these things out and to understand. I guess figuring it out is not the right term. The Lord tells us in the Bible. And if he doesn't tell us, it's not up to us to make up something. So, It's God doing it in our life. It's not us figuring something out or fixing something up. God does it, or it's not going to get done. God has to do it not only judicially or positionally by saving us, but he also must do it in our daily lives. We need to let him do it. We need to make the choice to follow his leading. And it's not some small voice in our head or some impression that we have or some speculation that we make. It's written down in the Word. It's what he says. What he says that he is going to do. I'm having trouble getting the words out tonight. But what he says he's going to do in the Bible. Believe it. That's what Abraham did in Romans 4. So let's begin with Romans 8:1. And it says, therefore. So it's referring to what went before. So we need to go back a few verses. Romans 7:21. And it talks about the law. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And according to the dictionary, Merriam-Webster's dictionary online, the word law often does not refer to the law of Moses, but rather to either a civil law, and I'm reading what the quote is here from Webster's, civil law such as the speed limit, or a procedure, rule of, you know, procedure, a way to do things, the way things work, such as the law of gravity. So that law there in Romans 7:21 is not talking about the law of Moses. It's talking about the way things work, the way of operating, similar to the law of gravity. It's not something that if you don't keep this law, then you're not going to be saved or something like that. You know, it's not talking about that type of thing. It's talking about the way things work. It's not a test or a condition. It's just the way of operating. Romans 7:21. So then we see, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And most of us would agree with that, I think. That's the crunch point. If evil wasn't present with us, and if everything was easy, then things would be a lot different. But there is a battle that's going on. There is a struggle. We are wrestling against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Just look for a minute at Romans 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, before we were saved, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members. Now that law is the law of Moses, the law that Israel was under. Paul, being an Israelite and talking in places in Romans here to Jews, people descended from Jacob, he says, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Things didn't work the way that they thought, you know, they thought it would work out. They thought they could, well, you know how it is. Often we try things and it just doesn't work out. Let's not chance our Christian life and our testimony on what we think, what we're figuring out, or what somebody told us. Go by the verses. Go by what God gave us in the Bible. And we have the Word of God. God didn't lie. He did provide the Word of God. And he will forever, he said. So let's go on. We believers have good and evil struggling in us. And if you look in the next couple of verses, we see a couple of laws taking... we're considering a saved person here, and we see the law of God that equals the law of my mind, a term that Paul used about it. And then you see another law in my members, called the law of sin in my members. Look at it in Romans 7, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Okay. So a saved person doesn't want to sin. They are created unto good works, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, but they're created unto good works. They want to do good works, saved people do. They want to be pleasing to God. It's his new man. It becomes fulfilling to him. But we also have verse 23 in Romans 7. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So, and, well, to clarify things, look in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. I heard somebody use this recently. I don't remember if it was Steve just earlier. But anyway, we can see that although we're in a struggle, God fixed it so that they're in two different realms. In my members, there's sin, but in my mind, I've trusted, you know, that's where we make the choices. I've trusted Christ to have died for my sins. I've received the spirit of grace and, what is it in 5:17, Romans 5:17, grace and the righteousness of God. So, this, I look at what it says there. Verse 16 in Galatians 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we see the beginning of a separation there between the flesh and the Spirit. Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. Recognize that in your own life, that if you're saved, the Spirit and the flesh, you can't mix them. You know, you can't. They're contrary. That's where the battle lies. They're contrary, the one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. And what you want to do and think would please God, you cannot do because of the flesh. So that's the predicament that Paul is teaching about here, and he's going to show how it's resolved. Praise God. Back to Romans 7:22, he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And let's look at 2 Corinthians. And we'll cover 10 or 15 verses here because it's applicable. They explain the passage that we're in. 2 Corinthians 4, starting with verse 16, going down through the passage. Remember that Paul wasn't stopped by chapter breaks or anything. There weren't any at that time. He just wrote, and later on they divided it up into chapters and verses for convenience sake. But 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's a definite difference there. Different directions, too. Now, he talks about things that we often associate with the difficulties in life, but he relates it all to the difference that he just mentioned in verse 16, the difference between the outward and the inward man. Verse 17, Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, just these 80 years or whatever, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Things that your mind can understand or read in the Scripture. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse 1 in chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. And that's not just our arthritis and things like that. Galatians 5:17 says that it's this battle that believers are in. You cannot do the things that you would because of the flesh. The spirit and the flesh are at enmity. Going to verse 4, 2 Corinthians 5:4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. What selfsame thing is that? You know, what's he talking about there? It's what Paul just mentioned, though, that our mortality might be swallowed up of life. That my flesh will be swallowed up by the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is going to tell us part of the resolution. He's giving part of it to start with. Who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Another statement in Scripture about us having the Spirit of God within us. Us believers that believe that Christ died for all our sins and rose to justify us. It's only by God's deposit in us that we have the new man. And we then begin to walk after the Spirit. God did it in us. He did it. Don't try to claim what God did. Let's go on to verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us this earnest of the Spirit. That word wrought in the past tense, it's the same word as in Philippians 2:12, translated work out your own salvation. Work out or wrought. It means to accomplish. It's accomplished thing. It's a finished thing. It's performed. It's worked out. Verse 6. There are always... Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And there's another assurance that whether or not you understand God's provision, that your walk will end in righteousness. And you can be always confident of the outcome. Therefore, we are confident, knowing this, that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. There it is again. Not the outward, but the inward. The inward man. Let me expand on that. Our walk is by faith. Our walk is not by sight. Not by sight. Our walk is not by what we see, our sight. In other words, our walk is not our flesh. It's not by our flesh. It's not by what we can accomplish, what we can lay out plans for. Nothing against organization, but you're not going to do anything that the Lord wouldn't have done. Hopefully you're doing it because of the Spirit's leading in you. It used to be only by our flesh before we believed the gospel. Your flesh doesn't count toward your walking after the Spirit. They're different. So here's part of the remedy for this predicament of wanting to be godly but having the flesh like a dead man dragging around behind us, look at Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The flesh is crucified. Reckon yourselves dead to sin, because you are. Romans 6:2. You have, you know, you do that by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. It's by faith, because we believe that what Christ said is true, that we are dead to sin. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, from our members, and to be present with the Lord. So he's confident, he's willing. That's, you know, it's what he wants. He wants to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So Paul again assures the believer that there are only two possibilities. Hell has passed out of the picture for the believer. If you're saved, you're never going to end up in hell. If you ever end up in hell, you were never saved. Now Paul switches and he says, wherefore, in verse 9, going on ahead, wherefore, and in other words, for which reason, because of what we just went through, he begins to consider the believer's rewards. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we believers, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And that's the believer's reward, or lack of reward, depending on, you know, your case, your particular case. So we can go back to Romans 7:23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. The law of my mind being the law of God for a saved person. That's what he says in Romans 7:22 through Romans 8:1. That's the impact of those. You know, look at verse 23 and 20. Let's see, 23, 24. I think 23 especially gives that. Well, let's look at them, starting with verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin in my members. It's right within our own self, between our members and our mind. Our members being handed down to us from Adam with Adam's sin, and our mind having yielded to God, believed for our own lack, our own need, that he died for our sins. He took our death penalty on himself. So that's a restatement of that dilemma, that predicament between the law of my mind and the law of sin, both within us. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body, the flesh, of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you've got to put those together. Who shall? Jesus Christ shall. And so Paul thanks God that it's done. There is a way. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So he doesn't claim to be sinless. He's still human. You know, praise God for those words in 1 Corinthians 15. We shall be changed. That's that. We lose the natural body at that point, at the catching up, and we get a spiritual body. One ruled by the Spirit, not by our Adam's nature that's descended down to us. So, what's the resolution? Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Okay, Paul, describe for us people that are in Christ Jesus. What do they do? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember here, Paul is saying, we just read that, what he's saying. And what he's not saying, he doesn't say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus if they walk after the Spirit. If they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'll get it right. Thank you for sticking with me. But in God's sight, our walk is after the Spirit. You can see that in Romans 8, verse 9. We'll get to that probably tomorrow, though, or Thursday. But it's a description. It's not a conditional statement in Romans 8, 1. Who are these people? They're the ones that don't have condemnation. They're Christ's people. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They don't walk that way to get into being Christ's. Since Christ is in them, he directs them to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's a result. It's a description of the way they live. So we're talking about how God views us again, but it's regarding our daily walk. It's done in Christ. Christ supplies the power and the ability and lets you make the choice, the Romans 6:16 choice, echoed in 6:19. Are you beginning to see from the scripture the two realms there, though? The realm in our body and the realm in our spirit after we've believed the gospel. There are those that are in Adam, and there are those that are in Christ. Everybody starts out in Adam. We all have descended from Adam through Seth, as in Genesis 5, verse 3. Genesis 5, 3, and Adam lived 130 years, and he begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, no longer in the image and likeness of God. It's sinful Adam we're talking about here, and it's in his likeness and after his image, and he called his name Seth. Everyone born after Adam has Adam's death working in us instead of God's breath of life still working in us, as in Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Being in Adam is being in the old man. Being in Christ is being in the new man. All are in Adam. Only ones in Christ, the only ones that are in Christ are those who choose to believe Christ's gospel of the grace of God, which Christ only told to Paul. Paul passed it on to others, Timothy, etc., Titus, the ones he worked with and the ones he preached to, and we get it through the scriptures that were written down. He wrote these epistles, and we get what the Lord gave to Paul. We're listening to the Lord's words, actually, when we follow what Paul said, because it's later information, later instructions than Jesus Christ gave only to Israel when he walked the earth. Then they rejected him, and they rejected the Holy Ghost in Acts 7, blasphemed, and became a fallen nation, not the people of God, not a holy nation, not a kingdom of priests on the rise that the Gentiles would come to. They lost that status of being channel of blessing to the Gentiles. The Lord began just probably a few hours or very few days later, after Israel fell, Paul was saved by a new pattern. A pattern that allowed Jesus Christ to take on himself that unforgivable sin that Paul had committed. And he paid the penalty for it on the cross. So, only those who are now in Christ are in both realms, in Adam and in Christ. and therein is the battle. It's our walk. Our walk. So choose Christ day by day. Not that if you don't choose him, you're no longer a Christian, a believer, you know, but you're saved regardless. But we're talking about our walk. That's where the battle is for a believer. If you're not a believer, please help yourself by believing that Christ died for all your sins. And you couldn't have made it without that. Believe that he did it, and he saved you thereby. All your sins paid for, and you're justified with God.